Blog Talk Radio.
Are you an entrepreneur that struggles with being too busy? Does your life revolve around your business at the expense of your friends and family? Do you find yourself not being able to turn off and unplug? If you're ready to allow yourself more flexibility, freedom, and control, stick around for the next 30 minutes as we chat about how to redefine busy with our guest, Brian Cappuccini. All right. Sorry, I'm having a technical difficulty there with my intro clip not playing. All right, ad-libbing. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Amy Zellmer, and I am a creative business coach and the founder of mycreativebizcoach.com. and your host for today's show. My goal is to help inspire you to grow your business and make more money doing what you love. If you haven't already done so, you'll want to visit my website at mycreativebizcoach.com and sign up to receive your free success toolkit called Three Simple Strategies to Supercharge Your Success. It is a short podcast and worksheet to help you work through these three simple strategies and achieve more success in your business. We are all capable of having as much success as we want, but it is up to you to supercharge it. During today's live show, be sure to tweet any questions that you may have to @AmyZellmer, and we will try and get to those during the live segment. And today's guest I have with us, Brian Cappuccini. And Brian is an award-winning wedding photographer based out of Fonthill, Canada. He is the founder of Sprouting Photographer, a website and podcast dedicated to actionable how-to education. Brian is also the CEO and founder of Sprout Studio, the photography industry's first all-in-one system combining studio management software with online galleries, album proofing, and the revolutionary new sales galleries. In 2014, Brian was awarded his Master's of Photographic Arts designation by the Professional Photographers of Canada. Welcome to the show, Brian. I'm so glad to have you here.
Hey, Amy. Thanks for having me. It's fun to have the tables turned here a little bit.
Yeah, I bet. I know, and sorry for my technical glitch. For whatever reason, it went to play my audio clip.
Oh, that's what podcasting is all about. Got to roll with the punches, right?
Especially live podcasting, right? I'm like sitting here like, is it delayed? Is it going to play? But it didn't play for me. Well, Brian, I'm so glad to have you here. So I gave your introduction, but why don't you give us just a little bit of background about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. So I am a wedding and portrait photographer based here in Niagara, Ontario, not too far from Niagara Falls itself, one of the wonders of the world. And I've been a photographer now for about 10 years. And I sort of have this weird thing about me in the sense that I like this thing called business, which is sort of curious and interesting for photographers, because oftentimes the case is that photographers get into photography because they like the creative side of what they do. And certainly I love the magic that comes with making images for a living. But I have a huge passion for the business mechanics and the how-to of selling and pricing and marketing and branding and all the fun business topics that come along with photography. And so I found over the past 5 years or so that I've been teaching photography that a lot of photographers struggle with that, and they don't love that side of things. So it's a great way for me to get out there and be able to teach something that I have a huge passion for, and that's been well received by many photographers over the years.
Yeah, excellent. You know, I see it amongst all of my clients that I work with, whether they're a yoga teacher or a hairstylist or a photographer. It's like we get so wrapped up in our business and we get so busy that it's just, it's hard to keep up, and it just turns into this perpetual vicious cycle. So how do you suggest getting out of that cycle?
Well, the funny thing is I remember hearing a photographer tell me once that he left his 9-to-5 start a 9 to 9. mm-hmm. Where it's like, you know, oftentimes when we get into it, we don't really know what we're quite getting ourselves into. I mean, wouldn't it just be wonderful if we could take pretty pictures and make a living doing so? But there's so much to go along with it. So something that I've really found, you know, specifically around this topic of busy, is that we seem to be in a place as a society where we almost glorify the idea of being busy. And we kind of put it up on a pedestal. We almost, in a way, validate ourselves, or we judge ourselves, or we wear it as a badge of honor to say, I'm so busy. You know, I often use the idea of, if you were at a grocery store and you hadn't seen an old friend for a while and you were to bump into them, maybe they would say something to you like, oh, Amy, how is photography going? Are you busy? And instinctually, we're going to answer, oh, yeah, I've just been so busy. I'm sorry I haven't called. I've been really meaning to get together with you, but gosh, I've just been so busy. I've been running around. I've been crazy. I've been hectic. We use these things to say, sorry that I don't have control of myself and that I don't have ownership over my own time. I'm just busy. And I think that that brings us to a point almost that is opposite of the reason that we got into being creative entrepreneurs. I mean, I can't think of many entrepreneurs that when they first started getting into photography or whatever endeavor they're into said, gosh, I just can't wait to be a slave to my computer, you know, or it's like, I can't wait to have no free time, no balance, and feel like I'm losing control of my life so that I can be an entrepreneur and make less money than I made doing my 9 to 5. So
and
that's
no health
really
benefits.
Where, and no benefits, right? So that's really where I've sort of taken, you know, a real passion for in the last little while. It was actually interesting, Amy. I did my first iteration of this talk was actually given with my business partner, Rob Knoll, back in 2009 or 2010. And what we actually did is the talk was titled The Lie of Busy. And in preparation for this, we went out and interviewed who we considered to be the experts of life. And so we went into a retirement home and we sat down with a bunch of folks and we turned the camera on, we mic'd them up and got an audio recording of them. And we just sat down casually with them and we said, if you could go back and do anything different, if you could look back at your life, at the things that you cherished the most and the things that you did that you are happy that you did them, you know, what are they and what are the things that you would change? And Amy, not one of them said, gosh, I wish I could go back and work more, or I wish I could go back and be busier. You know,
right.
Not a single one of them did. Almost every one of them said, I wish that I had more time with my family, or I wish that I had started a family. There was one older lady in specific who told us the story of how she focused so much on her career when she was in the workforce that she didn't give any attention or time or energy to herself personally or to starting a family. So she never got married, she never had children, she never got to experience any of those things on the personal side of life. And she said, I enjoyed that success in business while I was there, but look at me now, I'm completely alone and I have nobody. And it's things like that that totally make me, you know, think, are we doing something wrong? Why are we putting our work over our life? And we need to stop acting as if busy is an excuse. We need to stop validating it. And instead, we need to redefine it. We need to take control of our lives and, you know, get some kind of ownership back so that we can live the life that we want and run the business that we want.
Absolutely. And, you know, the word busy, you know, you were talking about it being almost like a stigma, like, you know, we want to be seen as busy. But at the same time, it also becomes an excuse. You know, like I hear all the time, I'm part of a writer's group, and people talk about how they just don't have time to write because they're just too busy doing other things. And it's like, no,
right.
that's an excuse. You need to make mm-hmm. the time to write.
Exactly. Well, and that's like the whole idea of what does busy really mean? And I really do believe this, and as harsh as that might sound, when someone uses or when you use busy as an excuse or at all, when you say, oh, XYZ, I'm busy, whatever XYZ is, whatever that thing is, the reason that you're not doing it is because you don't have control of yourself and you are a victim to the circumstances that you've created. You know, I think we all know somebody, maybe even yourself, where, you know, you just end up doing all these busy things, all these things that, and you commit to too much, and you say yes to too many things, and you end up taking on too many projects, and all of a sudden you're kind of, you know, struggling for air, and you can't keep your head above the water. Well, that's a circumstance that you created for yourself. So if there's things that you're not doing because of that, that's just your own doing. So we need to kind of take control of our decisions and sort of, you know, say that even though sometimes we want to say yes to things, we need to realize that no matter what we're doing, when we say yes to one thing, we're saying no to something else. So my suggestion is just to make sure that we're saying yes to the right things.
You know, Brian, in 2014, I had an accident and suffered a brain injury. And the result of this has really taught me to say no. Like, if I do too much, I suffer a lot of neuro fatigue. And I know my limits now. And in a weird way, it's one of the better things that's happened to me because I'm so much better able to delegate and say no. Like, I'm on a board for our art crawl here at my building, and people can't believe when I say no to things. I'm like, no. Like,
right.
I don't put the value on that for my time. Like, I have to do this and this and this instead. And it's really, you know, it's taken me 40 years to get to the point where I can say no. But it's so empowering when you can say no and know where your values lie for your time.
Well, I think a lot of it, Amy, comes from the idea of being self-aware. You know, I think oftentimes self-awareness comes over time and comes over over a period of time after you've made those mistakes and you've learned that you can't do that so long. And I guess my encouragement to those listening, and when I teach on this topic, is that we need to gain awareness of these habits that we have that are making us feel overworked, overwhelmed, and burnt out. And if we can take control of those, then we don't have to find ourselves at the end of our life like those folks in the video that we made that are looking back saying, I wish I did things differently. My encouragement is to help entrepreneurs gain awareness now so that we can make the decisions, we can make the pivots if we need to in our life and in our business so that we can live the life that we want to live now as opposed to waiting until it's too late.
So how do you suggest to someone to go about doing that?
Well, I think the first thing is that you need to become aware of it. Like, you need to kind of take stock of the things that you're doing on a daily basis that are pushing you into this space of busy, into this place of feeling overwhelmed and like you don't have control. There's actually been studies that have been performed that show that most of us actually spend 50% of the time that we spend on anything thinking about something other than what we're actually spending time doing. Meaning that 50% of the time we are actively disengaged and distracted from what we're doing. And in that time, we are performing things subconsciously. We are making decisions subconsciously. We're kind of wandering in our minds and we're letting our automatic behaviors take over. And I think that just like anyone that wants to lose weight, you know, you've got to all of a sudden become aware of the food that you're eating so you can make better decisions about the food that you put in your mouth. Well, I think that's just the same here. We have to become aware of the habits that are making us feel this way. A prime example of this is something that I like to call the false rush. Oftentimes, we'll find ourselves in this state of frenzy, of rush, of hurry, of busy, where we're kind of like running around frantically without really a good reason as to why we're doing it. This shows up often in our lives when we're driving. You know, we'll kind of look for the fastest way to get somewhere, or we'll look how can we get around this car in front of us just so we can get in front of them so we're not, you know, going 5 kilometers an hour slower than we need to be. And we make ourselves rush around. In fact, the best way that this shows up, and Amy, I'll ask you a question. What do you think is the most replaced part on an elevator?
On an elevator?
Yeah.
Oh. I guess the cable that helps it go up and down.
The most replaced part on an elevator is the closed door button. Would you believe that?
Oh, interesting.
Because we obsessively get into an elevator and don't want to wait the 2 to 3 seconds that it takes for the door to close, so we obsessively click it. But did you know that 90% of the elevators made after 1990, that button does nothing for? Does nothing. It does not help us in any way. So it's these little kinds of cues, these little habits, and it's going to show up in everyone's life a little bit differently. But I think once you can start becoming aware of the things that you're doing subconsciously, of the habits that you have, of the routines that you have that make you feel like you're in a hurried state, in a busy state, in an overwhelmed state, we need to become aware of those and start to take actions towards making those better. You know, even something as simple as the idea of using the word busy, you know, like we almost give it validation in using it. You know, when
right.
you say, how you doing? And you say, oh, I'm busy. We need to stop using that word so we can get ourselves out of that state and instead look at our time a little bit differently.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, kind of going back to what you said, how people go from a 9 to 5 to a 9 to 9 job.
yep.
I think particularly women who want to be stay-at-home moms, so they start, whether they're a photographer, or maybe they're a life coach, they start doing something that they can do from home, thinking that it's going to free up time for their children. But then in reality, they get sucked into their business and they get, you know, they kind of get pulled down that rabbit hole. So what advice do you have for somebody that's just starting out as a business owner? Like, what would be a big piece of advice you'd give them to avoid getting in that rabbit hole?
Yeah, one of the best pieces of advice, and this is probably the most actionable of everything. I mean, first, I like to always start these conversations off with mindset, because unless you can become aware of the problem and make a decision to act towards it or towards its improvement, I don't think the actions really do all that well. So the biggest action piece that I can suggest is something that I like to call time chunking, which basically means instead of looking at our day as a series of multitasking or of a bunch of projects that we multitask within, I like to suggest that we look at things much more linearly, in the sense that we should be more intentional about how we spend our time. Excuse me. So the best way that I like to explain this is if you were to have 5 buckets in front of you, 5 empty buckets, and between each of the buckets is about 1 foot, and you have 1 hose to fill these buckets up with, and the hose is constantly running. Would you start with 1 bucket, put a little bit of water in it, and then switch over to the next bucket and put a little bit of water in it and switch over to the next bucket and put a little bit of water in it and keep going back and forth? You probably wouldn't do that, because not only would that be not a good use of the water, but you would be spilling the water in that gap between the buckets while you were switching between them. So obviously what we would do in that case is we would point the hose at 1 bucket until it gets full, and then quickly switch and fill the next bucket, and then quickly switch and fill the next bucket. Now that seems so intuitive and so obvious when we talk about filling a bucket like that, yet so often we use our time and the tasks that we have to do with our time the first way that I described the buckets. So we kind of, you know, look at a set of tasks that we have, and we'll jump in and we'll start doing email, and then we'll get distracted by a phone call, and then we'll get distracted by Facebook, and then we'll get distracted by writing for a little bit, and then we'll say, no, I'm really going to focus and get down and do this one thing. We'll kind of put the music on, we'll get focused, and then all of a sudden the doorbell rings, and then all of a sudden this guy, and then we kind of jump around from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, and at the end of the day, we're looking back saying, what did I really accomplish today? And oftentimes, we can't really identify that one thing that we did that was really important to us and that really moved the needle for us in our day. And it's because we were jumping around like that. So my suggestion is to do what I call time chunking, where it's we actually look at our day, we look at our work week, we say, what are the things that I have to do in a week? What are the tasks that I have? Now, what are the things that make up those tasks? Like, for example, if I have to do errands, wouldn't it make sense to do all the errands while I'm out doing errands, as opposed to going out and getting milk today and then going out and getting one thing tomorrow and going out and getting a notebook the next day? It would make sense to put those things together. So when you time chunk, we look at our time more as sort of renewable points of energy, where we say, okay, I'm going to spend 3 hours focused exclusively on this one thing for these 3 hours. And then after that, I'm going to spend 1 hour focused on this one thing. And then after that, I'm going to spend 2 hours focused on this other thing. So we kind of use our time in a much more deliberate way so that we're not wasting the time, wasting the energy as we switch and try and multitask. Because the reality is that no one can actually multitask. Multitasking is actually a fallacy. Because what we're doing
right.
when we're multitasking instead is just really quickly switching our time and attention and energy, or splitting our time and energy and attention in a bunch of different directions, so nothing really gets done the way that it should get done.
Right, and I really liked your analogy with the buckets and the hose. I mean, I think that really gives people a really good visual on what you're actually doing when you're trying to multitask. You're spilling that energy into places that it doesn't do any good. So I really
yeah.
like that visual.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I've also heard, you know, like your to-do list really shouldn't have more than 3 items on it. If you have more than 3 items on it, you're more than likely not going to get anything done because you get overwhelmed. Do you have any experience with that?
Yeah, I actually have a bit of a different opinion on that. I think that that is great advice for someone that wants to sit with a to-do list open in front of them. But I actually think that a to-do list should have as many things as you want to have on it, but it just needs to be prioritized in the sense that
right.
you should actually have everything that you could possibly ever imagine doing on your to-do list. Because if it's not on your to-do list, it's in your head. And when it's in your head, our minds have a way of constantly reminding us of these things that they want to make sure we get done. For example, have you ever had it where you had to get milk on your way home from work, right? And because you didn't write it down, your mind was sort of constantly saying, like, Amy, get the milk. Amy, get the milk. Amy, get the milk. Amy, get the milk. And maybe it's because in the past there's been times where you forgot to get something, or where you fell down on something else, or you got it late, or whatever it was. And so our minds will remind us to get these things or to do these things. When we do that, we're distracted, we're not focused, and that's what contributes to that sense of overwhelm and that sense of feeling stressed out about things. So my suggestion would actually be to do what's called the brain dump, where everything that possibly comes into your head should be down on paper somewhere. It should be written down. It should be categorized. It should be somewhere so that our minds don't have to remember these things.
Right.
Go ahead, Amy.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, prioritizing it, and also, like, I think you were alluding to as well, is, like, categorizing it. So, like, you do have all your errands in one column and maybe all your social media in one column, or so that you're not jumping around from list to list. Like you said, you don't want to go to the grocery store today to get milk and then go tomorrow to get the bread when you could go
exactly.
get them both at the same time.
Exactly. And so for those reasons, I think that your to-do list should be a very big living, breathing thing. But what you should be doing is focusing on individual silos as we move throughout our day. A prime example of this, Amy, as a photographer for me, I have come to realize, and I think this is really important to kind of take stock of your own circadian rhythm. For me, I know that first thing in the morning between 8:30 and 12 o'clock is my most productive time. So whenever I have to get anything done that is heavy on the production side of things, so when I have to design an album or retouch photos or edit anything or do selections, I will put those tasks into that time of my day because I'm most productive then. So by just the idea of me putting those things in the time of day when I'm going to be best to do those things, I'm actually saving me time. Because what might take me an hour when I'm at my peak performance in the morning might take me 2 hours when I'm sluggish and tired in the afternoon. So by focusing on those little silos and putting tasks where they should belong in my day, according to my own circadian rhythm, I'm actually able to get more done in less time in a much more focused and intentional way.
Absolutely. I like that. Well, Brian, we're getting down to the last about 5 minutes of the show, and I want to make sure we talk about, you have a free gift for our listeners.
It's called Pricing for Profit. Do you want to briefly talk about that?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I'd be happy to. So this was about, 6 years ago when I was out there, you know, teaching about the business of photography to photographers. Again, it's one of those things where I realized not a lot of photographers like the business mechanics of running a photography business. And one of the biggest pain points for photographers is they say, how do I figure out my pricing? And I think a lot of creative entrepreneurs feel the same way about that, because when you're putting a dollar value to something that is so close to what we do, I mean, the art that we create, the thing that we make with our own two hands as photographers, is very personal to us. And so to then take a dollar number or take a price tag and attach it to it, it's very difficult. Yet there are some proven methods that any business in any industry follows in order to successfully price yourself for profit. And so we set out to identify those and bring it into the context of photography so that photographers can have a really, really simple, streamlined, straightforward method for how they can appropriately price themselves and be profitable. And let me just be clear, in this case, profitability, I guess in any case, profitability is not a dirty word. The idea of making a living and making a profit and actually being able to put food on your table and support your family from what you do as an artist, as a creative, that's the reason we got into doing this in the first place. And so that's what the book that we wrote called Pricing for Profit about 6 years ago is really all about. It walks through the mechanical process, the nuts and bolts, the 1-2-3s of how to price your photography so that you can actually make a living doing so.
Excellent. And I'll be sure, I will get the link to that in the show notes. So I'll be sure to get that and all your contact information up as well. Is there anything that we didn't touch on, Brian, that you wanted to make sure we covered, or did we get it all?
Well, I would guess just like the only last thing, Amy, is for any photographers that are listening, we back in November launched Sprout Studio, which is the photography industry's first all-in-one platform that basically helps them get out of the busyness and run their entire business from start to finish. So if photographers are interested in checking more out about Sprout Studio, we would love to have them over there and check it out. They can visit getsproutstudio.com.
Excellent. Yeah, and it is. It's important to have a studio management software that can do it all for you. So, again, you're not, you know, having to do one thing in this program and one thing in this program. And, you know,
exactly.
It's all about efficiency. So I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here, Brian. I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show. And like I said, I'll get all your info up in the show notes. And we will talk to you very soon.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you. And thank everyone else for listening. I hope that you have enjoyed today's show. And I hope that you'll join me again next week on February 24th as I chat with Carissa Carlson. And we're going to be talking all about Periscope for Creatives. So I hope that you will tune in again next week. If you have a topic that you would like to hear covered on the show, please feel free to drop me an email at amy@mycreativebizcoach.com, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Amy Zellmer. And I hope that you will all be inspired to grow your business and make more money doing what you love. I look forward to sharing this journey with you. Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope that you enjoyed the show. Have an awesome day, everyone, and I'll catch you next time.